Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, the first 15 verses. This is God's Word. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now, there is in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow and who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Main point today, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? Now there's much more to this passage. But that question, just in and of itself, should grab your attention. Here's a guy who had been an invalid for 38 years. That's a long time. It's a long time to suffer with any problem. But this guy's problem was that he was an invalid. He couldn't get around on his own. He was crippled for 38 years. Now, we don't know if he was as a result of injury or as a result of illness. If it was a congenital defect, in other words, a birth defect, then it would probably have said from birth. But it says simply that he'd been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he'd been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" Now, why was the man lying there? This was a place of healing. This was a place where people came to get healed. If you happen to have a King James Bible, you would find a statement that isn't in the modern translations. And the reason it's not is because it's not in the earliest manuscripts that we have. It is in some early manuscripts, but that missing part says, when it says that he was paralyzed, here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. It says, and they waited for the moving of the waters. From time to time, an angel of the Lord would come down and stir up the waters. The first one into the pool after each such disturbance would be cured of whatever disease he had. Now, that is, in fact, why the fellow was there. The reason it's not included in the modern translations is because, as best we can tell, it wasn't in the original, and we're trying to stick with what the original said. But please notice that in verse 7, he says, "Sir, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." So in other words, that little section was put in to explain what the man said. Well, do you believe that thing about an angel coming down and stirring the waters? Not necessarily, but that is what they believed, clearly, and that's why the man was explaining, I can't be the first one in the pool every time I try and get there. For 38 years? Yeah, I've never been the first one. Other people have somebody else to help them. I don't have anybody to help me. I just can't make it into the pool. Whatever this guy's situation, Jesus had compassion on him. But before Jesus healed him, he asked him, do you want to get well? Now, does that seem like a reasonable question? It does if you've lived a while. I remember hating to go to school in fourth grade. I didn't enjoy it a lot in the other grades either, but in fourth grade, it was miserable. And I discovered that if I was not feeling well, I could persuade my parents to let me stay home. And so I found myself kind of hoping to be sick. And I was sick a lot. I mean, I had genuine illnesses. I really was sick a lot. But for me, that was always a good thing. I know what it is to find that some illness can get you off the hook. I've seen it not just in childhood fake illness. I've seen it in adults. But I've also seen it a lot with addictions. Whether you're addicted to alcohol, whether you're addicted to drugs, whether you're addicted to sugar. Okay? And it's like, I know. I need to change, but oh my, I just, not right now. I've been told that by numerous people when we talk about their struggle. So I know I need to stop, but I don't want to right now. I had an alcoholic tell me about 2 years ago, I know what I need to do, but I'm not ready to do it. And that person wasn't ready. What happens is, if they live to overcome the addiction, they got to a point where they just couldn't stand it anymore. I mean, what does it take? Jesus said to this man, do you want to get well? In Exodus chapter 8, Pharaoh had a problem. He was refusing to do what he knew God was saying he needed to do. But he didn't want to do what God said. And so God sent him plague after plague. And in Exodus 8, the plague was frogs. And there were frogs everywhere. Imagine you go and open the cabinet and frogs jump out. Okay? In the bed, frogs. In the bathroom, frogs. Frogs everywhere. They're jumping. They're croaking. It's just awful. That's what was going on all over Egypt, including Pharaoh's palace. And he said, okay. You get rid of the frogs, and I'll let you go and sacrifice to your God. Moses said, I will let you decide when the frogs are to be gone. And Pharaoh said, tomorrow. Tomorrow. When would you want the frogs gone? Now. Now. Why would you keep them just a little longer? It is a picture of sin. It is a picture of the attitude that says, I know I need to change. I know this isn't right. I want to change. I will change, but not right now. Not right now. Someday I'm going to start really praying and studying the Bible. Someday I'm going to start putting God first in my finances. Someday I'm going to start telling the truth, but not right now. Not right now. I know I need to change, but not right now. So Jesus' question to this man is a question to all of us. Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? Do you want to change? The man explained. I mean, you'd think that would be a simple answer. But the man said, Sir, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water's stirred. When I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. And so Jesus said to him, Get up. Pick up your mat and walk. Not because the man was faking it, but because Jesus had the power to heal him. And he did. Verse 9, at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. It was instantaneous. When Jesus spoke it, it happened.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Well, this took place on a Sabbath. So, Jesus told him to carry his mat. So he's doing what Jesus said, and the religious leaders had a hissy fit. Okay? They got all upset because here's a man on the Sabbath carrying his mat. They said, What are you doing? You're violating the law. Whose law were they violating? Not God's law. God did say you're not to work on the Sabbath. But that didn't mean you couldn't pick something up and carry it. It was a mat. It wasn't a gigantic cabinet. The Jews had made all kinds of laws about God's law. It wasn't enough to just seek to keep God's law. It was now generations of additional laws that vastly outnumbered the laws God had given. And they focused their attention on the man-made laws. Okay? I'll give you an example. These folks literally said it was Jewish law that if you took your bedroll or whatever and wore it like a shawl, you could wear it upstairs and put it down up there, okay? Because you're not carrying it, you're wearing it. That was in the law. But if you dropped a handkerchief on the floor and thought, oh, I'm going to go put that upstairs, and so you picked up the handkerchief and carried it upstairs, that was working. That was working. You carried a burden. If you spit on the ground on the Sabbath day, you're farming. Because there may have been a seed in the soil, unbeknownst to you, and you just watered it by spitting on the ground. This was in the law. I'm not making this up. That was in God's law? No! It was in man's law. People were doing absurd gymnastics in order to try and make sure that they didn't break man's law. And yet in the process, they were repeatedly disobeying God's law. Jesus said to the religious leaders on more than one occasion, you guys have a fine way of setting aside the law of God in order to try and observe the law of man. You're blind guides. You strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. That was what Jesus told them. This guy is asked why he was violating the law. It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat. Their law forbid it. But he replied, the man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. Now, when there's a conflict between what man says and what the Lord says, who are you supposed to obey? You're supposed to obey the Lord, of course. Well, but what if the government says this? Well, then the government's wrong. Over and over, I remind you, no one has authority to command what God forbids or to forbid what God commands. Jesus had told this man, pick up your mat and walk. And he was obeying what Jesus said. And these guys weren't like, you were cured? Tell us about that. That's tremendous. Yeah, I was an invalid for 38 years, and this man came along, and he healed me. Wow, praise the Lord. No, none of that going on. They want to know, who is the scoundrel? Who is it that said, pick up your mat and walk? Not who is it that cured you. We want to know who gave this unlawful command, because we're going to put a stop to it. He said, I honestly don't know. Now that tells us a little something too about Jesus. Do you remember that after all his years of public ministry, Judas told his enemies that for a sum of money, he would go and show them which one was Jesus? What does that tell you? Jesus didn't look like a movie star. Jesus just looked ordinary. He wasn't the one blue-eyed Jew. OK? okay, with the clear old hair. You had to know him in order to be able to pick him out in the crowd. And here, Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. He could do that. He was just an ordinary looking man. And he was God incarnate, God in the flesh. So they said, we got to find this guy. And the man who was healed had no idea who it was. Verse 14, later Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, see, you are well again. So he had been well before he was an invalid. You are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you. Now here he was in the temple. But Jesus warned him. You need to stop sinning. It doesn't say what he was doing that was bad. It doesn't say he was in the process of sinning at the temple. He was at the temple and Jesus knew about this man's life, just like he knew about Nathanael. Just like he knows about you. He knows. He knows. And Jesus warned this man, stop sinning. If you were an invalid for 38 years and then you got healed, what would you want to go do? What would you think? Oh, good, now I can what? If you knew you could do something and people wouldn't find out, what would you want to do? What's in your heart? What was in this man's heart, obviously, was sin. What would be worse than being an invalid for 38 years? There's a lot of stuff that's worse, including dying when you're not ready to meet God. So if Jesus says, stop sinning or something worse may happen to you, does that mean that the reason people are sick is because of sin? Well, ultimately, in the sense that because of original sin, because of the fall of mankind, all the sickness and war and death in the world is a result of that. But no, Jesus says in John chapter 9, when dealing with the man who was born blind, that it was not a result of his sin or his parents' sin, but in order that the glory of God might be revealed. If there were no sin, there would be no sickness. But do not make the mistake of trying to draw a direct line, thinking, oh, well, if this person is sick, they must have done something terrible. And don't think that about yourself. Lord, please show me, what is the sin that is causing this to happen? The Apostle Paul was given a thorn in the flesh, not because of sin, but in order to prevent him from sinning. It was the mercy of God that he had a horrible messenger of Satan to harass him, because that prevented him from having a worse problem than the physical one. And that worse problem was that he would become arrogant. I don't know what problems you may be facing this morning. I don't know what you may be hoping God will change. But I'll tell you this, you've got to be really wanting to get well so that you say, God, whatever you want. Whatever you want, do what's best, do what's right, do what will bring glory to your name. Because God knows what's best, and God's timing is perfect. And I can assure you that this life is short. So focus on doing His will, and you will be well.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.